Better and Longer with The Fitness Show, hosted by fitness expert, author, and TV personality, Fitz Kohler. She'll tell you why diets are dumb, supplements are snake oil, and the truth about how you can earn a lean, hard, pain-free, and athletic body. Now for our favorite bossy blonde, Fitz Kohler.
Hi team, I'm Fitz Kohler, your fitness expert from fitness.com, and welcome to The Fitness Show. Today, I am going to answer audience questions, which is one of my favorite things to do because I like to be helpful. So sure, I am bossy and harassing and all of those other things, but more so than anything, I do it all because I like to help you. So I actually reached out on Facebook on both my fitness page and my personal page and said, hey folks, if you have questions, let me know and I will answer them. And what you should find interesting is that so many people are coming from so many different places, and we feel like, yes, everybody just is focused on weight loss, but that's not true. That is not true at all. And so I am going to kick off this Q&A with a question from someone who's trying to gain weight. We're going to call her JM, and she says, good morning, Fitz. I have a question for your podcast. I have been having trouble gaining weight and muscle. I drink a high-protein shake every day, and my appetite is low, so I force myself to eat. You know, I have always been tall and thin, but it has to improve. I unfortunately do not have an exercise regime, nor have I seen a nutritionist. I have atrophy in my arms, and I just don't look well. It causes me worry, as well as others, and makes me self-conscious. Your advice is greatly appreciated. My current weight is 118 pounds, which is way too low. My clothes will finally fit, and I will feel great if I finally get to a minimum of 130 pounds. Thank you, sweetie. Love you much. Well, I love you, too. This is a very long-time friend of mine, and boy, she is a sweet potato. And so she has been tall and thin all of her life, but it sounds like she's not healthy. She's not exercising. And so this is a legit problem for a lot of people is, I'm too thin. And really being on that spectrum of things can have a very similar effect mentally on people as those who are overweight, you know, just not feeling like you look great in your clothes. Sometimes having a tooth and a face has an aging effect. I mean, there's all of these things that frustrate people, right? So what I'm going to tell you, JM, is that you have to put as much effort into your weight gain as many people have to put into their weight loss. And so I would definitely recommend seeing a nutritionist. It's certainly a good idea for a one-time experience at minimum, and maybe they'll do some blood work and see if there's something going on with you and there's a reason you're burning through calories like crazy, but it could just be you're not eating enough. And so while people have to discipline themselves to eat less and watch their intake, you may have to pursue eating more vigorously. And of course, I want you to eat wisely. And so some people will use shakes like Boost and other things to gain weight. And really, it's ironic because people go to the gym and there's often a smoothie bar in the gym and they'll call them weight loss smoothies. And so I actually have people I know that I see at the health club, and these are people trying to lose weight. And so they go in and they burn, I don't know, 400 calories doing Zumba. And then they come out and they get a 400 calorie weight loss shake. And of course, that extra 400 calories just completely negated any effort they made in the gym. And it's insane. And so, of course, we don't believe it when anyone puts the word weight loss in front of a shake or any other food, because there's no weight loss apple. There's no weight loss lasagna. It's just food. And the way you manage it depends on whether you gain weight with it, maintain, or lose. But JM, what I need you to do is start focusing on ingesting foods that are dense in calories, foods that you like, and hopefully foods that are nutritious. And I always say, go for real food. There is almost no place in the world for these supplements, these shakes, these Beachbody people, their wraps, their pills. None of that stuff is necessary. And I've said it before, but if you go back and look at the statues created for our ancient Romans, those were real people and they were built. They were built like what? Statues. Why? Because they lugged stones for a living, and they moved a lot, and they caught their food, and they ate off the land, and that's really what we need. We need physical activity and real food. And so you may lean towards things like peanut butter or any sort of nuts or nut butters for that matter. Make sure you get plenty of protein. And then you have a little more flexibility with your starchy carbs. And of course, an extra helping of mashed potatoes once in a while, you know, a really healthy version of mashed potato, not laden with butter, is a good choice. I also need you to start exercising. And you're a really good example of, I'm thin, so I don't need to exercise. And I don't know if that's what's going on with you and that's what's been your mentality. But so many people think, well, I am thin, so I don't have to. And I have a girlfriend who's married to a guy who's really thin and he doesn't exercise. And boy, I'm worried for his health. You know, lots of really thin people drop dead of a heart attack. Why? Because their hearts are weak. Their lungs are weak. They can't handle a stressful situation or a heavy workload. And so no matter what your size, exercise needs to be a part of your life. So go for walks, go dancing, go swimming, go cycling. You don't have to jump into a boxing match or a marathon. You don't have to do those extreme things, but start somewhere and start. So cardiovascular health, cardiovascular activity, the things that make you huff and puff, they're going to promote heart health and lung strength. And so people will say, well, they're trying to lose weight. They shouldn't be doing that. Baloney. You have a heart and your heart needs to be stronger. So you have to do the huffy puffy exercise, but you also need to do the strength training. You told me right there, you have atrophy in your arms. Well, if you're not using them, if you're not, you'll lose them. So heavy weightlifting. And again, you don't start heavy. You start with whatever you can lift safely and with proper form. And hopefully you'll maybe reach out to an exercise professional in your area to guide you, but start small and build up. And I'm a pretty small person. You know, I'm in a size 0, a size 2, and I think my arms, I mean, it's all relative, but I think my arms are jacked up. I lift a lot. I pick up the 30, 35-pound dumbbells in the gym for bench press. You know, I'm doing bicep curls with 17.5 or 20-pound dumbbells. I lift heavy, and I'm not huge, but I'm strong. I'm very lean, but I'm very strong. So I want you to start pursuing strength training. Again, you don't have to pick up massive weights, but eventually maybe you get there. And that's really the way for you to start feeling like you have curves at any size. So, you know, start investing in managing your calories. So the exact formula for weight loss also works for weight maintenance and weight gain. And so, for example, you're 118. And you want to be 130 pounds, you have to eat at least 1,300 calories a day. Normally, I would tell people if you want to become 130 pounds, if you want to shrink down to that weight, you would consume 1,300 calories. Well, you have to consume at least 1,300 calories a day to become 130 pounds. Sounds like your metabolism is really high. So you may want to go a little bit further. Don't go too much over. You don't need to consume 2,000 calories a day, especially if you have low appetite. But play around with it, visit a nutritionist, but you do have to dedicate every day, focus on getting enough high quality calories in your body from real food sources, exercising your heart, lungs, pursuing strength training, balance, flexibility, you know, focus on being a fit girl, and eventually you will be a fit girl. So let me know how that works for you. You know how to reach out to me, and I'm excited to hear how it goes. All right, so Rob Stewart asks, once someone reaches their goal, how do they determine what the new goal should be? And so isn't that a fun problem to have? And Rob Stewart's recently lost 55 pounds. He's been a guest, or he's an upcoming guest on the Fitness Show. And he has lost 55 pounds. So he's close to where he wants to be. And that's a fun thing to have to deal with. And so you'll know when you get to your original goal weight, or accomplish your goal endeavor, maybe it was running the marathon, you'll know, well, I want to do something else. So if your original goal was to run a half marathon, for example, maybe you want to extend that and do a marathon next. Maybe you say, okay, I've done this. I've done a half marathon, but I've never participated in a bike tour. So maybe that'll be my next goal. Or maybe I'll try an obstacle course race. Or maybe I'll pick up tennis. So when you're dealing with athletic adventure, you know, you can always push the limits by going further or by going faster or by changing things up completely. But when it comes to weight, you know, I think you get to a certain place and you look in the mirror and you assess. You go, okay, well, I'm a little bit lighter than I think I should be. So maybe I'm going to put 5 pounds of healthy weight back on. Or, you know what? I thought 170 pounds would do, but really, I think I probably need to be 165. And then you lose the next 5 pounds. Or maybe, this is what I really enjoy when I help someone get to their goal weight, is I like to help them play Michelangelo. And so you can get to a place where you decide, yeah, you know what? I like this weight. I feel really good here. But man, would it be nice to have sculpted shoulders. And then you get a little more intense with your shoulder strength training routine. Or maybe I would like my legs to be stronger and curvier. So you crank things up in the gym when it comes to strength training lower body. Really, you know, I think most of us set our goal weight based off of some sort of perceived reality. You know, we have a dream weight maybe, but I rarely see people go all the way. So for example, when I weighed close to 160 pounds, I never fathomed being 115. I thought, wow, if I could be 140, that would be cool. I would dance naked in the street. In fact, that's exactly what I would say. If I could be 140, I'd dance naked in the street. And then I got there and I thought, meh, if I could be 130, I'd dance naked in the street. And so on and on it went, of course, within reason. But it's funny now. I feel really good physically about where I'm at. I feel proud of my body. I like most of the parts where they are. But I'm still not dancing naked in the street. I'm still a nerdy, modest girl. So dang it. I guess I'm never going to dance naked in the street. But yeah, it's a lovely place to be when you hit your original goal. And now you just get to have fun. So pick and choose. I hope you always extend the goal line. I hope you always, you know, raise the bar for yourself. Find something new and imaginative and interesting ways to challenge your body or ways to develop your body more. But at the same time, I also want you to be very happy and proud with what you've accomplished, because that's always key to success, is feeling good about what you've, where you've come from and where you are now, and then moving forward with a smile on your face. So have fun setting new goals. I can't wait to hear what you choose. My girlfriend Jenny asks, should you take a day off or is it okay to work out 7 days a week? And so that question could come with a variety of answers. So first of all, I normally recommend people exercise most days out of the week. And when I say exercise, I'm not talking about housework or mowing the lawn, just general activity. I'm talking about deliberate exercise, something that incorporates sneakers or goggles or a sports bra, something that is vigorous and intense and meant to make your body better. So we're not talking about general activity. We're talking about deliberate exercise. And so I encourage people to do most days, which is 4 to 6 days a week. And I like a day off. I think it's a nice luxury. Having said that, it doesn't mean you can't be active on the seventh day. And so if you're a gym rat, and we're saying you're going to go to the gym 6 days a week and find something hardcore or intense or whatever to do, then maybe on the seventh day, you go for a big walk with your neighbor, or you dance using your game console. So it doesn't mean you have to be still and motionless on the seventh day, but I do recommend take a day off of the deliberate stuff. Having said that, if we're talking about strength training, should you take a day off, or is it okay to work out 7 days a week? I mean, yeah, you can do 7 days a week, but keep in mind when you're strength training, never train the same muscle group 2 days in a row. And so if you're going to work your chest, say you do bench press and push-ups, at that rate while you're working hard, if you're challenging your chest properly, you're damaging the muscle. You're actually tearing tiny muscle fibers. And so what happens in that process is you tear the tiny muscle fibers and then your body sends in its team of warriors that repair that damage, rebuild it, and that's how you see progress, right? So you've got 48 hours for your body to regroup, recover, and rebuild, and now you're stronger. If you do not give your body that 48 hours or that particular muscle 48 hours of rest, the repair process will never take place and you'll never see the benefit of that workout. So if you're going to do, say you break up your body in half, upper body and lower body, never do upper body Monday, Tuesday. do upper body Monday, lower body Tuesday, upper body Wednesday, lower body Thursday. Always alternate. Or if maybe you do an entire body strength training routine every other day, that's fine. However you want to work this works for me. But you should not be training the same muscle with strength training every day. On the flip side, cardio, feel free to huff and puff every day of the week. In fact, you can get up, huff and puff in the morning, go to work, come home, have another huff and puff session every night of the week. So cardio is completely different. Flexibility training, stretching, you can do throughout the day, every day. Balance training, there's no need to take a day off of balance training. And balance training, why is that important? So you don't fall down. That's why we do balance training, is so you do not eat it. Whether it's off the sidewalk or while you're playing a sport, whatever it is, we want you to stay upright. And that's why balance training is important. So you can take a day off or you can train 7 days a week. But please don't confuse physical activity with exercise. And sometimes people come and they go, I'm so out of shape and I don't understand because I'm so active. And I go, okay, well, tell me what you're doing. Well, I do lots of housework and I do lots of gardening and I mow the lawn and that's really nice. And that is certainly being active, but it is not exercise. There's a very big difference. Unless you're mowing the lawn and it's tall grass and you're going straight uphill for a mile, it doesn't count. Got it? Got it. Okay. So Anna asked, how much of weight loss or gain should you attribute to water weight? Not much. I think your water weight will fluctuate on a day-to-day basis. And so if you've done something like go out for Chinese food, which is traditionally pretty high in sodium, and you drink a lot, you may wake up tomorrow a little bloated. And your rings, it'll be impossible to get your rings off of your finger. But if you're following the exact formula for weight loss and you're exercising often and you know, you get on the scale once a week and you're down 3 pounds or 2 pounds or 5 pounds, well, you've probably lost actual pounds. I really attribute very little to water weight gain. And, you know, it's funny. I feel sad for people because you'll get folks that are really big and they'll say it's just water weight. And no, it's not just water weight. I mean, think of me. I imagine all of you have seen my photo and I'm a lean girl. How much water weight would it take for me to look overweight? I would have to have a disease. You know what I'm saying? I might have kidney disease and get really bloated, but there's not much going to change my body. So, yeah, I attribute very, very little to water weight, if any. It's a regular fluctuation that all of us deal with based on our intake and our output. And when I say output, I'm talking about using the restroom, and it'll vary, but I wouldn't include that in your mind at all when you step on the scale. All right. Amy asks, creatine for women, why or why not? I see absolutely no use in going to one of these supplement stores for absolutely anything. I'll backtrack and say, the Roman statues, man, those people were built, they lived off the land. They lugged stones, they worked with animals, they were active. You don't need any of this stuff. And I actually have a podcast called The Smart and the Really Stupid Way to Use Supplements. I can't think of any reason on the planet at all that I would go purchase creatine and use it, period. End of story. In fact, I don't even know if there's a certain amount of money you could pay me to get me to take it. It's just absolutely unnecessary. And so when it comes to the supplement game, really, you should never, ever, ever, zip, zilch, ever walk into a supplement store and take the advice of the minimum wage worker that's trying to sell you stuff. Why? Because they're an expert at nothing. Why are they there working for minimum wage? They're an expert at nothing. So you take advice on ingestibles from a physician. And you take an advice on ingestibles from a physician who has already drawn your blood and knows exactly what you're lacking. So if your doctor draws your blood and says, boy, you're low in iron, I really would like you to take an iron supplement, then please listen to your physician, believe the blood tests, and go from there. But creatine, where in the world would that come into play for a regular woman or even a guy? It just doesn't. So be smart, folks. There's a bazillion ways to accomplish fitness without spilling your wallet all over the place for these bozos trying to sell you shakes and supplements and pills and those stupid wraps. My God, if that is not the dumbest product I've ever stumbled across in my entire 27-year career in fitness. There are so many bozo amateurs. You know what? If someone's claiming to be a personal fitness trainer, I tell you what, they have absolutely no certification, no degree in pharmaceuticals. Why would you buy pharmaceuticals from them? If you're hiring someone to teach you exercise, that's what they should do. They should not be making meal plans for you. I don't even do that. I never sit down and tell people, here's what I want you to have for breakfast. Here's what I want you to have for lunch. I want you to have this. Why? Because I'm not a person's doctor. It would take such an intricate level of knowledge about a person to be able to do that. And that's why nutritionists exist. And that's why nutritionists often work in hospitals, because they're dealing with people that are sick, that have had their blood drawn, and they have special dietary needs based off of their medical situation at a time. So do not buy ingestibles from people in the exercise field. Don't even buy them from nutritionists. I don't know any nutritionists who are pumping any of this shake crap. I just simply don't. And look for real food. Look for real food. And I'm not telling you can't have a Dorito once in a while. And what I will tell you is the exact formula for weight loss is based on science. And it's just simple math. You want to be a certain weight? Great. You got your goal weight. You put a zero on the end. That's your daily caloric budget. Why? Because we've been proven to burn approximately 10 calories per pound a day per body weight. And so if you need more, information on that, please go to fitness.com. There's a search bar, and put in exact formula for weight loss. In fact, I'm pretty confident I have an actual button on the front page of fitness.com that says the exact formula for weight loss, and it has an apple with a tape measure rolling around it. But that's a far more explicit description of the formula. As well, I have one of the original podcasts based off the exact formula. But you don't need any of this nonsense. So the answer to that is no, no way, no how. Save your money. Do something else productive with it. Or you can write me a check. If you feel like I've saved you some money and you just love me, PayPal me. Say happy Christmas, Fitz. Happy unbirthday to you. All right. So the next question comes from a woman who says, I've been bummed. I've been having a few medical issues. So I've been to two different doctors, and I've asked them both about my slowed weight loss. I have had a total hysterectomy, so weight loss has been hard. I'm not perfect all the time, but I know I really try on most days. I journal, I work out, I walk about 4 miles a day. I'm working and running. I measure my food, which I make myself, veggies at every meal. Both doctors told me at my age, which is 57, that is probably not going to happen. One doctor even told me I needed to try a weight loss sleeve. This is not what I wanted to hear. She said that would be my best bet. I keep telling myself to just do it myself and show them that I can. Should I cut my calories more? And should I then decide what I want to weigh? Okay, so the question's a little bit confusing, but the gist of it is she's had a hysterectomy. Her doctors, which aren't nutritionists or fitness experts, have told her that she should go the surgical route for weight loss. So if I stranded you on an island, or let's say I stranded you at sea with nothing but water, do you think you'd lose weight? If I stranded you at sea for a week with water, nothing else, would you lose weight? The answer is yes. And why? Because your body is completely capable of losing weight. And so I know you say you've been weighing your food, and I'm not sure what you've been using as a reference for that. And one of the things I'm so proud of with the exact formula, now mind you, I didn't necessarily make it up. I just followed the science and the maths to bring that information to you. But on occasion, you get people that make up arbitrary numbers that are supposed to match for everybody. So we've all heard about the 1,200 calorie diet. 1,200 calorie diet is preposterous for someone who's 240 pounds trying to lose weight. That is a miserable, agonizing starvation death for someone who's extremely overweight, or at least just a bigger person. So 1,200 calories is only appropriate if you're trying to weigh 120 pounds. And so maybe you've been following some sort of advice that has you eating the wrong amount of food. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is to start using the exact formula. And so I don't know what your starting weight is, but let's pretend you want to weigh 150 pounds. From here on out, your caloric budget is 1,500 calories a day. There's a smart way and there's a really stupid way to do 1,500 calories. The stupid way is to go to Starbucks in the morning, plow down a huge fancy coffee with whipped cream and syrup, have a giant bagel with cream cheese, and boom, you're done with your 1,500 calories a day. Now, if you did that every day for the next 6 months, you would lose a hell of a lot of weight. However, the problem is you'd never get past day one, because by noon on day one, even though you had already met your caloric budget of 1,500 calories at breakfast, by noon, you'd be starving. And if you didn't eat because you were trying to stick to the formula, by 1 o'clock, you'd have a headache. By 2 o'clock, you'd have a stomach ache. And by 3, you wouldn't be functioning anymore. And you would give up by 4. That would be the end of that 1,500-calorie budget. So instead of doing it the dumb-dumb way, what I'm going to encourage you to do is do it the super smart way. That means 1,500 calories goes a really, really long way if you're eating lots of produce, lean proteins, lean dairies, some starchy carbs. So if you eat wisely, if you cut out full calorie sodas and juices and milk and things like that, 1,500 calories goes a really long way. So I'm not sure exactly what you are aiming for, and I don't have the name right here with this question. I wish I did. But hysterectomy, research shows, is responsible for 0.5 pound of weight gain per year. And women hate hearing that, because if they're 15 pounds over their ideal weight, they go, what? Only 0.5 pound? How could that be? But that's what the science shows. And again, don't kill the messenger. I didn't do the research, but that's what research has shown, that hysterectomy is responsible for 0.5 pound of weight loss a year if you aren't doing the right thing. And so I imagine if you're willing to get up and do 4 miles a day and you're already measuring your food, that once you get on, once you start using your caloric budget appropriately, you're not going to have any trouble at all losing weight. And again, if I threw you on a boat and stranded you at sea with nothing but water, you would lose weight. Why? Because your body knows how to do it. I mean, it's just part of the deal. We can lose weight, and we can lose weight quickly. And I'm not telling you to pull it off quickly, but if you were stranded at sea for a week, you'd come out 25 pounds less. So that's proof. Your body will let go of the weight if you do the right thing. So I'm not going to throw you in the ocean on a canoe and leave you there for a week. I'm just going to teach you how to eat healthy. And I am confident that over time, you will get where you want to be. I would not take that surgical option. I'm not saying it's not right for someone out there, but I'm not buying off that it's right for you. So thank you so much for that question. That's a good one. And I think a lot of people are really going to enjoy hearing it, because it's relevant to them too. All right, so I got a friend, MB, says, hi there, Fitz. Hate to bother you on something so trivial, but I have a question for the miracle worker. That's you. Thank you. I've lost 15 pounds the right way, but I struggle with how to lose that spot right below the belly button. Are there exercises that isolate this part specifically, or is it just the way it is after 3 kids? So I reached out to this person and I asked, what kind of core training are you doing right now? And she said, none. So that's a really easy fix. So yeah, that area below the belly button is a hot spot for a lot of people. And I could probably think of uglier words than hot spot, because it becomes aggravating. But we definitely can make major change there. If you've lost 15 pounds, congratulations. This is already a really beautiful woman, very fit, very committed to eating healthy. So I'm glad to hear she's at her ideal weight. But strength training, and that's what ab work is and core work, it's strength training. It's the very same activity as we do when you see the big guys lifting big heavy weights. That's what we're doing for those muscles in our abdominals. And so Our abdominals are made up of three parts. There's your rectus abdominis, which runs from your rib cage to your pelvic bones. You've got your transverse abdominis, which runs from hip to hip. And then you have your obliques, which make kind of a crisscross X across your midsection around your back. And so what I always recommend is do a combination of all three, or train a combination. You want to do your standard crunches where you lift your shoulders towards the ceiling and you lift your hips up as well. You do the crisscross motion for your obliques, and then you do things like planks for your rectus or for your transverse abdominis. Now, a funny thing I hear, and you'll hear it a long time, and it's a very amateur thing. And so if you're dealing with a trainer who tells you something's going to work their lower abs, buyer beware, you might want to find another. So everyone asks about training their quote-unquote lower abs. Well, there is no such thing as your lower abs. There's not a set of abs just below your belly button. What you have is that rectus, which stretches from under your rib cage down to your pubic bone. And so when you do a crunch, which means you lift your shoulders up towards the ceiling, or you lift your hips up towards the ceiling, you're working that entire muscle. And a lot of people say, well, I just don't feel it down low, down by my pubic bone. And the reason being is because that muscle's a bit thicker down low than it is up high. So when we start working the muscle, it's a thinner muscle and it starts to fray. You know, we get that little, those tiny tears. It starts to fray on top faster than it does on the bottom side. I'm actually going to do a podcast very soon, completely dedicated to core training. So we'll delve into that much further. But know that when you want your abs to look right, it's the basic crunch, the crisscross, and the plank. That's really the secret to it all. And with my core training DVD, Flip Flop Abs, it's funny, when people hear the words flip flops, they think of beach and people wearing the thong shoes. That's not what I mean by flip flops. What happens is when I am training people for their core, I train the entire core, which is not only your abdominal muscles, but it's your glutes and your low back and your hips. And so I will take people from their back and say, all right, flip over. And maybe we do planks. And then I go, flip back on your side. And we do side planks. And I flip them back on their back to do bridges. And so I'm constantly working the entire sphere of the core, not just abdominal muscles. And so if you're down at your ideal weight, especially, and you feel like your abdominal muscles or your tummy area is just smushy, well, that's because you haven't earned a hard, flat midsection. And so let's do that. You know, whether you train with me, I prefer, go ahead to fitsness.com, buy my core training DVD. I promise it will make you and your midsection very, very happy. But if not, just train with that theory in mind. You train it all the way around. You train your glutes, you train your back, you train your abs in three directions, and you'll see results very quickly. And do it in a way that challenges yourself. You should not be able to do 100 crunches. You should be able to do 10 to 20 of each exercise before you move on to the next. All right, moving on. Julie says, there are two schools of thought on weight training for muscle gain and fat loss. Low weight, high rep, or high weight, low rep to failure. What's the deal and which one is actually more beneficial? So the purpose of weight training is for us to grow strong, right? We're gaining strength. And so if you lift a weight that you can already lift a whole bunch of times, you're not actually getting strong. You know, so you'll see a woman, and I pick on girls a lot. I'm sorry, ladies, forgive me. But it is kind of a woman thing to do. We go in and we'll pick up the 5-pound dumbbells and like curl them 72 times in each arm. And basically, it's something we could do in a swinging motion because it's so easy. That is a waste of your time. What I want you to do whenever you're lifting weights, let's say strength training, which includes all modes of strength training, using kettlebells and using resistance bands and using nothing. You're just doing lunges or using actual dumbbells or Nautilus machines. What I want you to do is challenge your muscles, because in order for them to grow strong, they need to be challenged. In order for them to grow hard, they need to be challenged. And in order for them to boost your metabolism, you have to grow strong muscles. Little muscles that haven't been challenged don't boost your metabolism at all. So I want you to train in a way where you can usually in most occasions do no more than 10 repetitions. And so my rule of thumb is by repetition number 8, you should be cursing. And so if you're doing a standard bicep curl, by the time you hit 6 or 7, you start wincing, you start making the ugly face. By 8, you're kind of gritting your teeth. 9, you're like, Jesus, and you curl, you squeak out that 10, cursing my guts, right? That's how we strength train. When you do something like lunges, you know, I'm actually a big fan of lunging down the street. So I'll do 50 lunges. But if I really want to work on my glutes getting higher and stronger and my legs growing really curvy, I put on a weight vest. And then I can barely squeak out 10 lunges, and I know that I'm making progress. And so in order to make progress, you need to challenge your body. If we're talking about cardiovascular fitness, you know, if you're in super good shape and you go out for a 1 mile jog at a comfortable pace and you never huff and puff and you never break a sweat, did you make any progress? I don't think so. I mean, sure, you probably burned 100 calories, but did you make any progress? You know, progress comes in cardiovascular training when you are huffing, when you are puffing. That is the state where you know, holy cow, I am challenging my body. And that's when you leave the workout better than you were when you began. And so with strength training, the same thing has got to happen. And so I will, on occasion, if I'm working with someone, I will find a weight I think is appropriate, put it in their hand, and they give me a look and go, Fitz, that's heavy. And I go, yeah, that's the purpose. And of course, I'll stand with them, monitor them to make sure they can go through the motion safely. But strength training, you are trying to grow stronger. And the benefits associated with having strong muscles will only come if you have challenged your muscles. So again, Julie, you're a girl who's in great shape. There's no reason at some point you shouldn't be doing bench press with 25-pound dumbbells. You're a strong girl. And for the most part, women in general, we don't have the capacity to grow big, massive Arnold Schwarzenegger muscles unless we're piling on the crap from the supplement store or, you know, doing the power boost in the smoothie, which again is absolutely nonsense. But if you strength train and you do cardiovascular exercise, you stick to your caloric budget, and this is men, women alike, you will end up with a lean, curvy body that you love. And I'm living proof of that. And the people that follow my advice end up in the same boat. They end up with lean, hard, curvy bodies they love. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to go down another road because I get a lot of questions. People will reach out and ask about CrossFit. Now, mind you, I'm a fan of CrossFit. When done properly, it's a really fun addition to any workout. It's not something I personally would want to do all the time, but it's a great thing to add into the mix. And I like the variety brought into a CrossFit class. You know, when it comes to Olympic lifting and some of the very intense activities, I always say, beware, be in control of your body, know how to say no. You know, CrossFit will sometimes run into, or people will often run into low grade trainers. They're hardcore, gonna hurt you, gonna make you leave sore. And you know what? When you're doing push-ups, inverted push-ups with your head towards the ground, and you push up and you're not capable, you pop a disc in your neck. You know, there's, in any avenue of fitness training, there's a place where too much is too much. And we see that a lot in CrossFit. And I think the heavy weights, the very challenging exercises have something to do with that. But I also see a lot of wonderful outcomes from CrossFit, and very strong, agile, athletic people come out of there. And they're the winners that show up at the OCR, the obstacle course races. And I think very highly of them. So again, I really like CrossFit. I really like Zumba. I really like Pilates. I think there's room for it all, but it all has to be done right. But I have a lot of women will reach out and say, Fitz, I need help. I got into CrossFit. My friend brought me. I thought it would be fun. But now my shape is kind of boxy. My legs are really kind of big. My waist is bigger. I thought I was going to lose weight. Oh, they put me on paleo. Again, anytime someone puts you on a diet and tells you to avoid an entire category of food, I think is really a dumb idea. And so unless you're really allergic to certain ingredients, you shouldn't do that. And so this paleo diet does not impress me at all. And would I do it? No way. no. So we'll leave that there. But people go to women particularly will go and say, I went to CrossFit and I gained weight and I'm boxy now. And that's what you get with paleo and CrossFit training. So not every time, you know, you could totally do CrossFit once or twice a week, not follow that ridiculous paleo diet, and then you'd be fine. You'd end up with a body you really feel good about if again, done right. But what I'm telling you is stick with your caloric budget, have a well-rounded fitness routine, definitely pursue strength training with vigor. Also, pursue cardiovascular fitness with vigor, because that's the thing that prevents the heart attacks, right? That's the thing that makes you capable to go have fun for a really long time. You know, if you get winded walking up the stairs, there's a problem with that. And what I'm hoping to breed, I'm breeding you all now, how do you like that, is a generation of people who can do it all, who have no limitations. And so if you get a marathon runner who can't do a one push-up, is that person really fit? Would you categorize them as fit? If you get a bodybuilder who can't touch his toes or he can't jog down the block, is he really fit? I'm not convinced. You know, the fit folks are the ones who have their hands in a couple and four different buckets. You know, you push your heart and lungs, you train your muscles properly, you stretch your muscles properly, and you pursue balance training. Because again, the balance training keeps you from falling down. And that may feel, you know, if you're in the 60 and younger crowd right now, falling, we may think of the scrapes we end up on our knees, right? That's inconvenient. Breaking a bone's inconvenient. But for seniors, it's life-threatening. A fall, in many cases, leads to premature death. So you got to do it all. If you're listening to me, let's do this now. Let's think where you're weakest. Maybe you're just really tight. Start stretching. That means every time you walk through your bedroom door or your office door, you put your hands on the door frame and you step through to stretch out your chest muscles. Maybe every time you're getting dressed in the morning, you reach down and touch your toes and just hang there and stretch your hamstrings. You've got to build up every level of fitness training so you're an athletic person who's not injury prone, because that's the other thing I want you all to be, is pain-free. Man, pain-free goes a long way. And you know what most pain is caused by? Most pain is caused by weakness and tightness. So again, we're out there huffing and puffing doing our cardio so we can lose weight. We're eating right so we can lose weight. But if you're not strong and you're not flexible, you're likely to get hurt. And that's the back pain. Anyone who's got back pain, unless you're in a car accident or had a traumatic fall, it's probably weakness and tightness. And it's not just weakness and tightness in your back. It could be in your hips. It could be in your hamstrings. You got to be overall fit. So, you know, make a chart. Decide, yeah, I'm a really good runner. My cardiovascular capacity is really good. I do yoga, so I'm really bendy. But you know what? I don't really practice balance, so I'm going to start standing on one foot and juggling. That's a good idea for balance. You know, just mix it up. I also want you all to get a lot of good sleep. I want you to practice quality stress management skills. If you deal with jerks or you have kids who are, you know, kids or a spouse that's, you know, a spouse, you know, find some stress management techniques that work for you, whether you're just taking deep breaths, counting to 10, or you go disappear and pretend you're taking a bath for 30 minutes just to have some isolation and downtime, do it. But yeah, we can all do better. And I assure you, I am the leader of that pack. I am always, you know, finding out where my shortcomings are. And then I change pace, you know, I go, okay, this, I got to do better, and that's fine. None of us are perfect. Perfect's boring. But if you stick with the exact formula for weight loss and you make your fitness routine well-rounded, heed the advice. Don't strength train the same muscle every day. You know, follow some of these basic principles, but you've got this. And if you go to a doctor who tells you you can't lose weight, you know, ask him, well, if I got stranded out at sea for a week, would I come back weighing less than I do now, than I am now? If the answer is yes, then you have the capacity to lose weight. So anyways, folks, thank you so much for these questions. I really appreciate them. I hope they were helpful to you. It felt good being able to answer them for you. Please send more. You can find me at Fitsness on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. I'm on Pinterest. Don't check it very often. I'm on YouTube. But yeah, send those comments in here on the actual podcast. You can subscribe. You can like this episode and you can leave a comment. That's a great place to leave some feedback or another question for a future episode. And I really appreciate your time, folks. And you know what you got to do now? You got to get to work. Bye, everybody.
Hi, this is Rudy Novotny, the voice of America's Marathons. We all love how much running has benefited every aspect of our lives, so much so that most of us only wish we'd started sooner. Wouldn't it be wonderful to give the opportunity to children of today? Well, you can. The Morning Mile is a before-school walking and running program that gives children the chance to start each day in an active way while enjoying fun, music, and friends. That's every child, every day. It's also supported by a wonderful system of rewards, which keeps students highly motivated and frequently congratulated. Created by our favorite fitness expert, Fitz Kohler, Morning Milers across the country have run over 2 million miles and are having greater success with academics, behavior, and sports because of it. The Morning Mile is free to the child, free to the school, and is inexpensively funded by businesses or generous individuals. Help more kids get moving in the morning by visiting morningmile.com. Champion the program at your favorite school or find out more about sponsorship opportunities. That's morningmile.com. Long may you run.